Church. There is no one in the building, but we're broadcasting today so that those who are listening online can join with us for this service. We're going to commence the service with Psalm number 124, and we'd ask you, if you have the words before you, to follow the words, and if not, listen to the words and join in our praise to the Lord. Psalm number 124. Going to ask the Lord for his blessing upon our study of the word and our worship and our praise today. So we're going to seek the Lord's face in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we bow humbly and reverently in thy holy, sacred presence. We thank thee that we can come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Saviour, the only Redeemer of God's elect. We praise thy holy name, that this is thy day, a day set apart for the worship of the Lord. And I thank thee that we are able to assemble together, even though it is online, yet we're able to assemble together around the Word of God to give praise to our God and to hear his Word. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art not bound, that thou art able by the power of thy Holy Spirit to bless the study of the Scriptures to all of our hearts. We praise thy holy name, that thou art able to reach into the various homes of the folk here from Ballygowan, and thou art able to bring a word of comfort, a word of challenge, and even a word of cleansing. Because thy word is so powerful, it does have that cleansing effect upon our souls. So, Lord, help us to listen today with interest. Help us to listen with enthusiasm. Help us to listen with an ear that is tuned to the voice of God. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt take away deadness from us and deafness from us. And we pray, Lord, that we will know the life of our God even through the Scriptures today. Gracious Father, we pray for all of the people who are listening to this word, that it will be a timely word and a word in season, not just a message, but rather God's message for his people. Yes, even God's message for those who are not yet his, that they might be saved, that they might be brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to thee confessing our sin and acknowledging our great need of God. We realize that we live in difficult times and trying times, discouraging times and confusing times. But yet we praise thy holy name. There's no confusion with the Lord. There are no mistakes with God. God is sovereign. He is in control of all things, and he watches over us. And we thank thee that thou wilt build thy church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Nothing can keep the Lord back from accomplishing his divine purposes. So, Lord, even today, make this time of worship and praise and Bible study a time of victory for the cause of Christ, for the kingdom of God, and for the gospel of saving grace. So please be with us now and help us throughout the remainder of this time together. We pray in our Saviour's great and glorious name. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, I have a few announcements to leave with you today. Reverend Smiley has prepared these announcements. I'll just pass them on to you now. He has asked me to welcome all of you who are joining with us online for the service this morning, and we trust you'll join with us this evening as well. So please accept our thanks for joining and remember the service tonight. There is a season of prayer in the homes of the folk here from Ballygowan this afternoon. And everyone is encouraged to engage in this prayer time at home, praying for the blessing of God upon his work and upon our land. Tonight at 7 p.m, the gospel service will be broadcast from the church here. It will be online, so please remember that, pray for it, and log in once again. And I'll be speaking this evening as well. On Wednesday night at 8 p.m, there will be a missionary prayer meeting online. It will focus on the work of FAME, the Friends of Africa Missionary Endeavour. A video of this work will be shown online, followed by a season of prayer. On Friday night at 8 p.m, there will be a youth fellowship conducted over Zoom. And the link for this meeting will be sent out to the young people, and we trust that all of the young people from the congregation will join into the Zoom fellowship. Then next Lord's Day at 11:30 a.m. and at 7 p.m. there'll be the two meetings broadcast from the church here in Ballygowan. The preacher will be your own minister, the Reverend Alan Smiley. We trust you'll be able to join in next week as well. Mr. Smiley has asked me to mention to you the prayer request for all who are affected by the virus and other illnesses at this time. Please pray for Mary McFadden, as she is due for surgery next Saturday, and for others who are going through treatments and procedures in the days to come. Pray for divine intervention at this time in relation to the virus. The General Presbytery, at its meeting on Friday past, decided to suspend all public worship services due to the present health emergency. This will be kept under continual review. In the meantime, Our services will be on sermon audio with a weekly meditation on Facebook and WhatsApp. These are all of the necessary announcements, and now we'll turn to the word of the Lord. I would ask you to turn, please, to Psalm number 42. Psalm 42 for the scripture reading. We're going to read the words of this psalm together. There are just 11 verses. We'll commence at verse 1 and read through to the end of the psalm. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. I trust that the Lord will add his own divine blessing to the public reading of his holy and precious word for Christ's sake. We're going to pray together before we study God's truth. Father in heaven, we come before thee acknowledging that we need thee, crying unto thee for help so that those listening will know the ministry and grace of God the Holy Spirit, that they will know God the Holy Spirit revealing the things of Christ to them, that they will know God the Holy Spirit comforting them and helping them at this time. Lord, we confess how much we need thee. Every hour. And this is an hour when we need thee too. So come and speak to all of our waiting hearts. Exalt the Lord. Glorify Christ. We pray in the Saviour's great name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to turn your attention to the words of verse 5 in Psalm 42. The verse says this, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. While there is a variety of views as to the author of this psalm, the majority of commentators believe that it was written by godly King Hezekiah. After David, he was the greatest king to sit upon the throne of Judah. He did more to bring the nation back to God than any other king. It is thought that this psalm was written whenever he became critically ill. He was on his deathbed, and the Lord stepped in and healed him and spared him for another 15 years. But it's believed that the psalm was written when he was seriously ill. The land of Judah was under great pressure at this time. The aggressive Assyrians were the leading power in the world, and they had a very big expansionist policy. They had already defeated and dispersed the 10 northern tribes of Israel. Now they had their sights set upon Judah. And Judah was really in no position to do much about this advancing horde. Judah was divided against itself religiously and politically. False religion was always there, flourishing in places in the land. Political parties were squabbling over every suggested foreign policy. Some in the country wanted peace with the Assyrians at any price, while others, they wanted alliances with Egypt or Babylon or anyone else who would join in to help stop the onward march of the Assyrians. Hezekiah is the king. He found a real ally in godly Isaiah, who ministered at that time. And of course, Isaiah encouraged the king to campaign against false religion and idolatry in the land. Accordingly, the king cleansed and restored the temple. He also put the spiritual affairs of the nation back in order with the help, of course, of God. King Hezekiah is doing a great work. But then he falls ill. We do not know what actually happened to him. Many people have suggested that he contracted the plague. What a shock. What a shock it must have been to the king whenever he was told what we read in 2 Kings 20 verse 1. I'll read those words to you. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. We can read these words without really considering how Hezekiah must have felt. Imagine if you went to your doctor tomorrow and you were told by your doctor that you had a very serious illness, and the illness was so bad that there was nothing that could be done for you, and that your life expectancy was only a few weeks maximum. You would be devastated. And Hezekiah was devastated. For we read in 2 Kings 20, verses 2 and 3, Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. It is very possible that in this desperate situation, Hezekiah was inspired by the Lord to write Psalm 42. Whenever things like this happen, we can be cast down. Living through this virus has left many people feeling cast down. Losing jobs has left many feeling cast down. Knowing that loved ones are sick and even dying and not being able to spend time with them in the hospital has left many people feeling cast down. Watching a once thriving business go to the wall has left many people feeling cast down. not being able to get much needed hospital treatment because of the crisis there has left many people feeling cast down. Not being able to assemble together as we normally do in the house of the Lord has left many people feeling cast down. In studying the teaching of this psalm, and our verse 5 in particular, I would like to see what we can learn if we're cast down. Actually, the words of verse 5 are then repeated again in verse 11. So these words are so important to the Lord, that he has deemed it fit to utter them twice in this one short portion of Scripture. Let's see what we can learn from Psalm 42, verse 5. The first thing I'd like to speak to you about is the discouraged Christian. That's our first point, the discouraged Christian. It says in verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me?" Hezekiah was a child of the Lord. Hezekiah was a king who had been greatly used by the Lord. He was not a carnal, lukewarm, or backslidden man. His life had not been one of spiritual defeat or failure. He was a faithful servant of God and a good man. Yet we read that he was cast down. That phrase, cast down in the Hebrew, also means to sink or to be brought low. Some people go very quiet whenever they are cast down. They withdraw within themselves and you can hardly get a word out of them. And that's what happens. They're cast down. They can't communicate how they feel and they withdraw. This is not how Hezekiah was affected. It says he became disquieted. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Now the Hebrew there for disquieted, it means to make a loud sound. By implication, to be in great commotion or tumult. To rage, to war, to moan, or to clamour. Now, whether this disquiet was expressed outwardly, or he was able to contain it inwardly in his soul, we cannot be absolutely sure. But we know the sound was coming from deep within his soul. And let's just say it was expressed outwardly, that he was disquieted and he expressed that disquiet. This would have been most distressing for the king and for those who were attending him. He was so cast down, we'll say that he was crying out. Christian, take note. This can happen to any of us. We can become discouraged, cast down, and disquieted. We are not exempt from that which godly men like Hezekiah have had to endure. Don't be thinking that you will never become cast down and it's always others who are cast down. For if you think like this, you will have immense difficulty in coping whenever it does happen to you, as it will. Let's examine some of the details of Hezekiah's discouragement. Look at verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? His enemies were rubbing salt into the wounds of this seriously ill king by asking, where is your God now? Where is he whenever you need him? Sounds a little like the mockery of those around the cross. He said to the Saviour, he saved others, but himself he cannot save. Where is your God now? Just as they mocked and insulted Christ, so they're mocking and insulting Hezekiah. Who would have been talking like this in Hezekiah's day? Well, I suppose the apostate priesthood for one. They're now out of work. There's been a revival. And they're facing financial ruin as a result of Hezekiah's reforms. And they would have been laughing. Where's his God now? This great reformer, this Bible believer, where's his God now that he's seriously ill? So the apostate priesthood would have been mocking. Also, the people in the land who loved their idolatry and their sin, they would have been mocking. They would have been gloating over the king's sickness. Where's his God now? He clamped down on many of the things that we were doing. He's not clamping down now. He's lying sick up on the palace and he's going to die and we'll be rid of him soon. So they were mocking. They were asking the questions, belittling him, gloating. You know, folks, it's bad enough whenever things are not going well for you, but it's worse whenever you hear that people are talking about you in your difficulty, commenting and criticizing. Hezekiah has enough to deal with without hearing about all the hurtful nonsense that others are coming off with. I believe there's a solemn lesson here. We should always stop talking about others when they're going through difficulties, because we don't know what they're going through. We don't know what they're enduring. We don't know what we're talking about. It's none of our business anyway. But they were continually making little of Hezekiah. Let us not be like them. Then look at verse 10. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? This taunting and this talking was like sticking a sword in the king's side, or even worse, sticking a sword in the king's back. And it was painful for the king, because the people were blaspheming and defaming the Lord. They were mocking God, and they were mocking the Lord's servant. And God's servant was finding it difficult to cope with all of this. You know, sometimes the reproach of the enemy is extremely painful and very discouraging. It is most discouraging when you hear that people are talking about you behind your back when you're already cast down, for it makes things worse. What about verse 7? Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. The waves and the billows of death were already breaking over the king's head whenever Isaiah, his best and truest friend, told him, set your house in order, for you will soon die. The king knew that the Lord would be with him, but he was not in the frame of mind where he was welcoming death. He didn't want to cross Jordan just yet. He was cast down about the very things, the way the things had turned out. You know, sometimes this happens to even the best of Christians. Are you discouraged at the way things have turned out in your life, or your family, or your job, or whatever? Is your heart heavy? What are you to do? Where do you turn in a crisis like this? The discouraged Christian. But then in the second place, let me mention to you the directed Christian.
For it says in verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God." There is the direction that you need. And the directed Christian is the one who is directed to the Lord and is told, "Hope thou in God." And by hoping in God, Hezekiah was resorting to the weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Like Job, he doesn't have a clue why these things have happened to him. He knows that he is about to die. Whenever he, and maybe he's even thinking he alone is the only hope of the nation needs him, but he knows he's going to die. He has been the most godly king in 14 generations. Why this? Why is this happening to him? Why is it happening now? And the king has no answers. He doesn't know why it's happening. But he knows where he can go for hope. He flees to God. Verse 5 says, "For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." The word "help" here is in the plural. Literally, it means salvations. Not just salvation, but salvations, plural. We are therefore directed to hope in God who delivers us time and time and time again. To hope is to be patient, to stay, to tarry, to trust, to wait. And that's what we're told to do. Hope in God. Be patient. Just trust in him. On that phrase, "hope thou in God," Albert Barnes commentated, and I want to read to you just two lines of what he said. "On hope thou in God, that is, trust in him, with the hope that he will interpose and restore thee to the privileges and comforts heretofore enjoyed. The soul turns to God when all other hope fails, and finds comfort in the belief that he can and will aid us." We hope because all things are possible with the Lord. By hoping in the Lord, heads that are down are lifted up once again. Hoping in the Lord is the anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. It enables us to overcome whenever we feel like we are being overcome. It enables us to look death in the face without any fear. In salvation, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We hope in the Lord for salvation. It says in Colossians 1 and 27, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." That's why we know we're going to glory. Our hope and our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I also go on to say this? In the midst of all the trials of life, our hope must also be in the Lord. Let me read to you from Lamentations 3, verses 21 to 24. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." That's our word here in this point. Hope. Hope thou in God. He remembers something, therefore he has hope. What is it? He remembers, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." Hope in him. Hope in the Lord. In Psalm 42, verse 9, we read, "I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. Look at how Hezekiah describes God as his rock. He is saying what we often sing, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." You and I are weak and even unstable. We change from one minute to the next. We could easily forget the Lord. But He will never forget us. He is our rock. He is always there and He will never change. A solid rock, a substantial rock, and a real rock. The Lord is our rock. In Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. We are directed to look to Christ in time of trouble, to hope in Him, our rock. Many of you will know, as you drive down the Ards Peninsula between Newton Ards and Grey Abbey, there's a large rock just a few metres from the roadside in the sea itself. Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. It's got a scripture text painted on it, a large, large rock. And I've found driving up and down that road that the more often you make the journey, the more often you don't see it. It's there, but you drive past, you don't see it. And then from time to time, your eye will just turn and you, oh, look at the rock and the scripture verse. And the point I'm making is this. Even though there are times we don't see it, it's still there. It's always there. It never goes away. And the Lord is our rock, as it says in verse 9. And we are to hope in Him, and He will always be there for us. And maybe you're thinking today, because you're cast down, He's not there. He is there. He's like that rock at the Ards Peninsula. You may have driven past, you mightn't have seen it, but it's there. Our Saviour is there for us. The discouraged Christian, the one who's cast down and disquieted. The directed Christian, the one who is told to hope in God. And finally, the delighted Christian. The delighted Christian. It says in verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God." And here's the delighted bit. "For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." The one who hopes in God will eventually praise the Lord. What a delightful thing it is to praise the Lord whenever we have been brought through the trial. Hezekiah did praise the Lord whenever his life was spared. He recovered, and doubtless the trial strengthened him for other tests that were to follow. And that's always the way. The trial you're going through now will strengthen you for the next one. In verse 8 we read, "Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." What beautiful words. If someone is loving and kind towards us, we are thankful. It is so pleasing and comforting to be on the receiving end of such gentleness and tenderness, loving kindness. That's the word used here. And I find it very interesting that it says here, God commands His loving kindness for His people. In other words, He sends it our way. He orders it. He appoints it. It is something definite that God ensures that we receive. God commands His loving kindness towards His people who are cast down. He commands it. It also says here in this verse 8 that he gives us a song in the night. And in the night, his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. You know, very often, whenever you and I lie awake at night time, it is because we have lost our song. We're worried sick about something. We can't get certain problems out of our minds. We don't know why certain things have happened, and we don't know how we're going to get around these problems. And the last thing we have in our minds at that time is a song of rejoicing. But, brethren and sisters, God can give us this song of rejoicing even whenever we are cast down. Are you cast down today? Are you cast down because of a situation in work? Something has happened that is causing you great anxiety. Are you cast down because of something at school? Young person, something's worrying you. Are you cast down because of a dreadful situation in the home? Things aren't going well. You're worried about how it's going to turn out. Are you cast down about the situation in our land with the virus and we can't even meet together as brethren and sisters in the house of God? Are you cast down? If that is the case, never forget to look up to the one from whom our help comes. Our help is in the name of the Lord. And the best thing that we could all do right now is continue to look to the Lord. He has done all things well. Believe it or not, he is doing all things well. And he certainly will do all things well. He's in control of your life and mine, our land, our situation. God's in control of it all. Why art thou cast down? Please remember, God is in control. We're now going to hear the words of another hymn. It is hymn number 269 in our own hymn book. And the brethren in the recording room are going to play this hymn for you. And after we hear the words of this hymn, we will have the benediction.
Amen. my heart is sore. Is that how you feel tonight? Is your soul sick? Sick with sin? Is your heart sore? Are you coming home tonight? And we'll sing verse 4 and verse 6 because you need the cleansing blood. That's what you need tonight. And I trust you'll make these words indeed your prayer as we sing.
Our gracious God and loving Father, we thank Thee today that we can always look to Thee. We can always lean upon Thee and always trust Thee, no matter what happens, no matter what comes our way. And therefore I pray for all who may be cast down, that this will be the day when they will hope in the Lord, and they will yet praise Him, that Thou will bring them through and lift their spirits, lift their hearts, help them to look to the Lord who loves them, and who will never fail them. We leave these matters in Thy love and in Thy care, praying that Thy grace, Thy mercy, and Thy peace will be our abiding portion, both now and forevermore. Amen.